August 29, 2006, Mahaprabhu Mandir, Melbourne, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 33, Verse Number 38. Brahmaratru pavrate vasudevanumoditaha anichchantyo yoyur gopya svagrihana bhagavata priyaha. Synonyms: Brahmaratri, the night time of Brahma, Upavrati, being completed, Vasudeva, by Lord Krishna, Anumoditaha, advised, Anichchantya, unwilling, Yayu, went, Gopya, the gopis, Svagrihan, to their homes, Bhagavata Priya, of the Supreme Lord, the dear consorts. Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After an entire night of Brahma had passed, Lord Krishna advised the gopis to return to their homes, although they did not wish to do so. The Lord Beloved's consorts complied with His command. Please repeat responsibly. After an entire night of Brahma had passed, Lord Krishna advised the gopis to return to their homes, although they did not wish to do so. The Lord's Beloved consorts complied with His command. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 17, Lord Krishna explains, Sahasra Yuga Parayanta Maharyat Brahmano Vidu Ratra Yugam Aho Ratra Vido Jana Ratra Yuga Sahasrantam Teho Ratra Vido Janaha. Quote, by human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. End quote. Thus, 1,000 ages occurred within a single 12-hour night when Lord Krishna performed his rasa dance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti compares this inconceivable compression of time to the fact that many universes fit neatly within the 40-mile range of earthly Vrindavan. Or one may consider that Mother Jashoda could not encircle the small abdomen of child Krishna with the numerous ropes, and that at another time he manifested many universes within his mouth. The transcendence of spiritual reality above and beyond mundane physics is concisely explained in Srila Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamritam. Evam Prabho Priyanam cha damnas cha samayasya cha abhichintya prabhat vatvad atrakinchit nadhurgatam. Quote, nothing is impossible for the Lord, His dear devotees, His transcendental abode, or the time of His pastimes, for all these entities are inconceivably powerful. End quote. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur further explains that the word Vasudevanumodita indicates that Lord Krishna advised the gopis, quote, to assure the success of these pastimes, you and I should keep them secret. End quote. The word Vasudeva, the name of Krishna, also indicates Lord Krishna's plenary expansion, who acts as the presiding deity of consciousness. When the word Vasudeva is understood in this context, the word Vasudevanumodita indicates that the presiding deity of consciousness, Vasudeva, manifested embarrassment and fear of their elders within the gopis' hearts. Therefore, it was only with great reluctance that the young girls returned home. Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Yudhapada Kamalanga, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Ratham Tham Sajivam, Sadvetam Savadhutam, Purijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakanvitamscha. Vrindavane Ramanare Iti Prasiddha Bhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Subhada Mule Jnanam Param Puramai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Tandastu Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samsara Dukkha Jaladau Patitasya Kama Krodadinakramakaraikavalikritasya Durvasana nigaditasya nirashrayasya Chaitanya chandra mamadehi padavalambam Jaladara shashivarno Gopavesha kishoro Sahacharagana vrindai Kridamana vrajeshau Natta-bara-jata-veshava-nila-pitam-buradyo Jagata-jana-nehetu-rama-krishna-nato-asmi Vanchakalpa-turubhyas-chakri-pasundu-bhiva-cha Paridhanangapavanebhyo-vaishnavebhyo-namo-nama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama This pastime is quite deep. The Lord's pastimes with the gopis and the rasa dance is considered to be said by sages as the most beautiful of Lord Hari's pastimes. The most beautiful. And in the Bhakti Ratnakar, it mentions that Krishna and the gopis were dancing and singing together, that together they manifested 5,000 ragas. And this astonished the demigods and the other pious living entities that were watching in the akash, in the sky. They were observing it on their vimanas like that, this pastime of the Lord. And they were literally astonished by the musical and beautiful arrangement that the Lord's Yogamaya had done. And they were so struck with wonder at the inconceivable qualities of it that they showered flowers of appreciation, pushpa varsha, in a great appreciation of this pastime. And In Indian culture, music has a very great role to play for pacification of the heart. People generally take it like an entertainment type of thing in Kali Yuga. Basically for ear exercise, like that. Because they're in the modern day life, we have so many stresses and strains of urban life and artificial standards of living and like that. So they like it as a cultural type of escape. And a classical sense of music like that, it soothes the nerves and pacifies the heart. That's just, and people are very much attracted to the external aspects of it. Like that, basically for their sense gratification. So they appreciate it. People will come. It's an Indian thing to do, attend a sitar recital, something like that. But what the students of music are struggling with, you know, the understanding of different ragas like that, they're all practicing and doing the best they can to play it and sing it. Yet it takes a long time. Srila Prabhupada described that to play sitar, for example, took 7 births, he said. So somebody like Ravi Shankar and other people like that, that actually are really into music deeply, they've been doing it for many births. They've been doing it like that. But still, and nowadays it's all becoming covered. Self-realization in the form of music was very much well appreciated and done in before. It was a way of transporting the soul beyond the confines of the material realm and stealing the mind and taking it to the spiritual realm. So everything was assisted. To give you an example, is when Lochan Das Thakur describes in Chaitanya Mangal about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, his birth, and the reciprocations the Lord has with his sincere devotees, Sachimata, Jagannath Mishra, his friends, Chandrasekhar Acharya, you know, his uncles, aunties, and Ganga, and Ganga Das, and, you know, Mukunda, Sanjay, and like that, Narahari, and you name it, all of them, Sridhar. So all of these wonderful pastimes of Gaurasundara are described in song. And in these songs, the Acharya has suggested the raga. The raga, the name of the raga and everything, so that the sound and the melody and the mood and the taal, the beat, everything will add to convey the bhava, the mood, that the author wishes to offer to the hearing audience. This way, the author's preaching will have effect, that the devotees' hearts will be transported to Navadvipa to try to empathize with the mood that is going on according to the depiction of the Leela Katha. Yet nowadays, because of the covering over of technology, due to technology and due to the rat race and due to the concrete jungles and due to artificial standards of living, within the last 50 to 100 years, things that were musically important has diminished. And people are just not interested. And if you don't have any young students to train, then the science dies out. And that's exactly what's going on. The people that are actually interested in music and ready to devote themselves to it are very, very few. And of those that are interested, then it's the citadels of different, you know, musical universities or something like that. And the teachers are paid to do it, and they just teach whatever they know and whatever they can. And with each generation, it just gets less and less and less and less until it goes. Just like I showed one Bengali devotee that likes to do some music. And I showed him. I thought, well, I asked some friends of mine, when I was learning bhajans in the 1980s, I asked some friends of mine, how do you sing this bhajan by Lochan Das Thakur? And they would say, well, whatever tune that comes to your mind. I go, that's what you guys do? Whatever tune that comes to your mind? But wait a minute, didn't the Acharya ask for a particular raga? And he goes, yeah, but we don't know it. How can we serve that Acharya, I was thinking. How are we supposed to, if we're going to be students, we have to serve the previous Acharyas. It can't be just manmukhi, you know, whatever comes out of the mind and the mouth, you know. But that's what they're doing at the... Something's got to be done. You know? And the problem is, although that's still in my heart to do that, to try to find people who know the raga so that you could tape it, you know. You have to dig up some professionals that know something about ragas. You find some professional singers or something, somebody who knows something about the ragas. And then they tape it. And then, because you don't want things from the mouth of professionals, because if their achar, their etiquette, if their example is not proper, then the sound may not purify the heart sufficiently. Just like, for example, many Indians, they would like Anup Jalota's music or something like that, because he paid somebody, you know, some scholars and some people to help him out with some bhajans like that. And it's an entertainment thing, like I said, it's ear exercise for the public to release their tension, you know, and like that. So people would like it. And he has some karma, he has some punya karma, by which he has a good voice or something. But his morals, he's a drunkard, he's a womanizer, probably he eats chicken, you know, chicken tikka, you know, whatever it is. You know, his morals are not that high. He just has some karma from some previous life that he can sing pretty good. You know, I talked to many devotees in Bombay, people that know him intimately, and this, you know, he's definitely affected by Western civilization. He's definitely not like his father. His father, you know, I don't know who his father was, Pandit Jasraj or something, I don't know whose father was. His father was Purushottam Jalota or something, his father was named or something like that. His father was much more cultural. What could you say? The previous generation was much more devotional, much more cultural. And if their kids become, you know, trash, kachara, you know, what can you say? You know, what can you say about it? Well, anyway, what can you do? You know, the father handed the science down to his son as best he can, and the kid did it, you know, adjusted it according to time, place, and circumstance. And along the way, with the fame that any musician gets, you know, the degradation comes along with it, you know, and they couldn't control their mind and senses because they were not surrendered to a spiritual master. They didn't have a parampara, they didn't have anything. So, as a result, because of a lack of teaching, it's gone. I was in Bengal in December, and I went to a place called Halisahara, which is the place where Ishwarapuri took his birth, something like that. And there's a very nice Vaishnava there named Kishori Das Babaji, who is probably in his late 50s or pushing 60s or something like that. And he published many books in Bengali about bhajan, about worshipping Krishna, many, many nice things like that. But his mandir, where it's a beautiful area, is just like, you know, only a few people come now and then. And he has one or two people there or something like that, and that's about it. There's a lake right next to it that has some spiritual significance. The waters of that lake has some significance. Nobody goes there, hardly. And it's available, you know, from Mayapur. If you take the right trains and the right buses, you know, you get there within 2 hours. From 2 hours from his place, you get back to Mayapur if you know what you're doing. But when I got so many books on bhajans, you know, that he had in Bengali. When I was talking to him about it, he said, "No one's interested in this." It was like he published it when he was a young boy. You know, when he was in his 30s or something, you know. And 30 years later, he's telling me, no one's interested in it. Because how many people buy them? How many people are ready to do it? Very few. So, with each generation, Bengali Padyavali Kirtan, or the knowledge of ragas, the knowledge of these things, it just goes. Because it doesn't pay the bills. Sanskrit doesn't pay the bills. People think like that. But they don't understand. They don't understand that, all right, maybe you have to diversify and you have to do some things, but you can't give up the culture if you want to make advancement. Sanskrit doesn't pay the bills, but the bills become a lot tolerable because of the Sanskrit. That's what they don't understand. You know, and God consciousness and Krishna consciousness is the most important thing of the human form of life. That we have to go back to Godhead. To do that, we must associate with Navadvip. We must associate with Vrindavan. And we must do that in whatever individual way that we go there by the grace of our Guru Vargya, our previous acharyas. We have to go there. And that is the success. If we do that, that is the success of human life. That is the most important aspect of human life, to go there and be with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His associates, and to enter into that realm We have to adopt their mentality to help us. That's why the Acharyas did it with music, with song, with poetry. And it's the work of a bygone age from sadhus and saintly persons that are physically no longer available. But in those days, it was culturally, lifestyle was much more simple. People did not have the distractions of the modern age, and therefore they could focus on the essence. Just like it states in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Verse 2. Satam ayam sarga pratamanya sarago. Satam, those that are interested, the devotees of the Lord, Satam, who are interested in Sat, they're interested in eternal. Satam ayam, this. Sarga pratam, they're interested in the essence. Nisargo, of all types of creation, of all types of subsequent creation, Nisargo. They're interested, whatever they do, they're interested in the essence of things. Yet artavani shruti cheta samapi, as if the essence of the instruction, the benefit of the instruction, artavani, was shruti cheta samapi, what goes in their ears and affects their heart. Yet artavani, the benefit of the instruction, shruti cheta samapi, it goes in their ears and affects their heart. Pratikshanam, at every moment, navyavad, they see that all these lila as ever fresh and ever sweet, because at every moment it affects their consciousness in a different way. Pratikshanam, at every moment, navyavad, ahachutasayat, of the infallible Supreme Lord of Chuta. They see it as all these topics of Krishna to be ever fresh and ever fresh. They never grow tired of them. Striyavitana eva asadhu varata. Just like non-devotees take great pleasure with refused sense topics of sense enjoyment. They take great pleasure in that. And they talk about it and they banner it around and they glorify it. It becomes a subject matter for advertising agencies. You know, it's the subject matter for economic development, and the motivation for economic development is to enjoy the senses with the sense objects. And to facilitate that, you have to work very hard and you keep up with the rest of the people that are trying to do that. But sadhus are not interested. It's stated that those, what is day for all beings is night for the introspective sage. What is the time, what is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-realized souls. Sometimes it's interesting. We have devotees of the Lord, the householder devotees, the community. We have to do something because we live in, to maintain, we live in concrete jungles, you know, and like that. And we are not born in the village. And sometimes some devotees just feel out of place in the village. Although that's probably, simplicity is really the best way of making advancement, but some people, they just can't relate to it, so then they have to resort to concrete jungles. Then you have to integrate in concrete jungles. At the same time, that integration gives us pain, disturbs the mind, and stops our Krishna consciousness. So then they require a withdrawal for some hours of the day, the ability to withdraw the mind and the senses from the sense objects and focus on the Supreme Absolute Truth of Navadvip, of Vrindavan, and whichever way that the devotee can tangibly and easily do that. That has to be cultivated. Krishna is very individual, and he reciprocates with his devotees in very individual ways. Just like in the beginning of this pastime, it started way back in chapter number 29, and when the gopis were coming to see Krishna, hearing his flute playing, then at that time he said, "Why are you gopis coming here in the middle of the night? This is not good. You know, your relatives, your family members, and people will not think good of it. You should better you go home." But they had come there to be with Krishna, attracted by the sound of his flute, and their hearts were wedded to Krishna, and they said, Nusham Sham, they said, Maivam Nisahum Abhibibho Navibho Nishamsham. They said, this is not very good. Why are you saying this like this? This is not fair. You should not tell us like this, they said. And what's interesting is that pada, that half pada of that shloka, the first line of that shloka, is the exact same thing that their disciples, the Dvija Brahmanis, said in shloka number 23. After associating with your gopis, hearing about your pastimes, you know, when they were selling us yogurt, when they were selling us flower garlands or whatever, we heard about you, and now our hearts have become attracted to you, and now we want to come to you, and we want to be with you, and you tell us it's not appropriate? Come on, this is not fair. It's interesting. Mayavam nama babibho nursamsham, something like that. It's interesting. It's the exact same point. And Krishna told the Dvija Brahmanis in chapter number 23 and the gopis in chapter number 29 the same essential instructions. Some of them the same shloka, exact. One shloka that comes to mind, because if something is going to be sent twice, then it must be really important. It doesn't have a purport, but that's all right with me. If it mentions twice in the Bhagavatam, it must be good, you know? So I looked at it. It said, Shavanama darshanama dhyanad mai bhavo anukirtanad natata pradikarsena pratiyata tato griham. He said, it is by shavanam, hearing our pastimes, darshanam, by seeing our forms, dhyanad, and meditating on our pastimes, mai bhavo, what is my mood, anukirtanat, and following the chanting of that. It means the tikacharyas, basically, the commentators. Following that which is my mood, topics about my mood, conversations about my mood, mai bhavo anukirtanat, and following that chanting. Anukirtana means repeatedly singing also that those pastimes, relishing it within your heart. Hridaya vishayi kritya kalutam munindra munchande Vivida Baba Bandham Abhyatikarat. In Hari Bhakta Kaupaladikari, he said, but just simply by meditating on those pastimes, Hridaya Vishayi, relishing it within the heart, Munindra Munchante, the great kings of the sages, Vivida Baba Bandham Abhyatikarat, they become completely free from the bondage of their bodies. Like that. It's astounding. All this is how the Lord's energy works, the Lord's yoga maya, how it works. Aho. And the shloka said, aho, astounding. Matur damna. Mother Jasoda was able to bind him with a rope. Harir abhut. It's amazing. So Baba Premno Yam Prabhama Vivashi Karayatiya. Because it is the love of the devotee that binds the Supreme Lord and makes him under the control of the devotee. Now the next shloka is really interesting. Now tat chitram shashvat. Now don't become surprised. Chitra means a picture. Don't be astonished like as if you saw a picture. Now tat chitram, don't be astonished. Shashvat, instantly, guna rahitam adai hridaye, that simply by relishing it within the heart, adai hridaye, within the confines of the heart, munindra munchante, the greats, the kings of the sages will become liberated. Gunamaya, sarira katamapi, that they'll become freed from the bondage of the ropes that bind their body. Katamapi, or what else? What else is to be understood about that? Katamapi? What else? What other topics can be said about it? What else can be said? Katamapi? Gunera bandhyas yasya kshanamarikatam sanidamimo. Well, actually, when you think about it, when little Krishna was going between the two Arjun trees, pulling on the rope, Gunera Bandhyasyasya, he who was bound up by the rope, you know, on the mortar, and he was pulling it in between those two trees, Sani Damimo, and they came near Krishna in that rope, Vimucho Tatsatyam, they in truth did become free. Gunamaya, Gunamaya Sariram Vimutto Tatsatyam Gunamaya Tanor Guhyaka Sutto, the two sons of the Guhyaka Kubera. They indeed became liberated just by going by Lord Krishna. They became liberated. So of course, if you associate the pastimes of the Lord are non-different from the Lord. And it's inconceivable. How does this yoga maya work? It is astounding. You know? But it works wonderfully to please the Supreme Lord and facilitate the reciprocation with his devotees who know nothing but him. This is what the spiritual world is all about. Loving Krishna and Krishna loving them. And that's all. Vrindavan is meant to think about Krishna and serve Krishna. And how Krishna does it so individually with all these devotees who have their specific flavor of serving Krishna. Serving Krishna. Rupa Goswami puts that very clear in the very first shloka of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He glorifies Krishna. Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is the essence, the form of all relationships. Rasamrita, of nectarian mellows, Murti. Prasri Mararuchi Ruddha Taraka Palaki. And because of his wonderful qualities, he stopped, he stunned the gopis headed by Taraka, Palika, Radha, and Chandra, and all those girls become stunned in amazement. Kalita, Radha Prayana Virujayati, and he's increased the love for Srimati Radharani. Vijayati, may he become glorified. Rupa Goswami says, this is the opening shloka of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. How wonderful. And basically, that one shloka, Rupa Goswami sets out the purpose of the whole book. As an opening, opening line. So because Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti, he is the essence of all spiritual relationships. And his nature, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela chapter 4, describes Krishna's nature is to reciprocate with his loving devotees who know nothing but him. So when the devotee hankers and wants to serve Krishna in a particular way, and that hankering is perpetuated by hearing and chanting and serving devotees. That's what it is. Our business here in this body is to perpetuate our greed to get Krishna by hearing his pastimes from authorized sources, churning it in our brains, relishing it in the heart, and hankering for it. And this is the only way we can achieve sangam, isha sangam, association with God through sound, and mitigate the fire of our separation. Everyone wants a loving friend and a loving relationship. But Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the essence of all relationships. We want a relationship with Krishna. That comes by serving sadhus, by serving guru, by engaging in the process, by relishing the process. And we're all individual. The remarkable thing is that we're all individual. Yeah, and so by that, we have an individual relationship with Krishna. We have a taste, and we have to explore it. We have to explore it. Just what way should I serve Krishna? What way do I want Krishna to be with me? You know, like that. So by hearing and chanting, we invoke it. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Karo E Udoy, Chaitanya Charita. By hearing and chanting, the sun of love of Godhead rises in the heart. It's not a concoction, it's just not whatever you feel like. No, the feelings are buffed, polished, cut by the previous acharyas. The previous Rasika acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and other great sages. After Anarthana Vritti, first business is Anarthana Vritti. Any obstacle that stops you from loving Krishna or loving Gauranga, try to kick it out systematically from your heart. And try to increase hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because the sages knew the essence was to hear and chant about Gauranga, about Krishna. Therefore, they were so careful to do it with music, with ragas, with everything, to invoke the spiritual scene as far as it was possible, culturally possible in those days, for the local devotees. So the minds would be stolen and taken to Navadvipa. The minds would be stolen and taken to Vrindavan. And this way to increase the hankering. Tatra lolyam api moolyam ekalam. The main aspect of bhakti is lolyam. I just have to achieve it. Now, the thing about anartha navritti is, as long as I'm holding on to my anarthas, I don't have the adhikar to get it. But it doesn't mean we still don't want it. But we just have to do our homework a little more. And we have to increase our desires a little more. And we have to qualify ourselves by our sincerity a little more. And then we'll get pravesh. We'll get to start to enter. We'll start to understand it. Otherwise, we just won't be able to. They won't reveal it. We won't reveal it. It's like the old days. You know, when you had a black and white TV. See, the reception is coming through the parampara. Like you've got reception towers for the mobile phone and like that. The reception is going through. Video signals, mobile signals, like that. And if you're too far away from the tower, you know, it just doesn't happen. You know, we can't get through. Right? So it's the same kind of thing. The parampara is coming down from guru to disciple. And it all depends on training devotees to get this loba, this intense greed to get Krishna somehow. See? And then the picture starts to come through. That's the idea. In the old days, you know, when technology was not so good, we had these black and white TVs and we had these rabbit ears. Remember? You had to move these rabbit ears around until the reception came good. Oh, the picture's a little fuzzy. So it reminded me when I was studying Madhurya Kadambini, when Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad was describing that at the stage of Ruchi, at that stage, the difference between Nishtha and Ruchi is that Krishna enlivens the devotee by giving unlimited energy. There is no fatigue. At this stage, Ratri Dine Kore Braje Krishna Rasevan, you can hear and chant all day and all night. At the same time, such devotees who actually got that mercy, they're so nonchalant, they're so mellow, they're so unassuming, that people that walk by them or devotees that walk by them have absolutely no idea what's going on. Because they act so ordinary, you know. They're so humble and they act so ordinary, you know, like that. So unassuming. But it's an extraordinary mercy they got. They just simply are taking advantage. Well, we're not able to take advantage, that's all. Yet still, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad mentions that the reflection of Krishna in the heart is just not quite clear. Then that pushes them. Narottam Das Thakur says it pushes them more. It pushes their greed even more to see Krishna, to know Krishna, and understand Krishna. But Krishna is playing hard to get, to increase the hankering. That's all. That's his company policy. We mentioned it. It's his company policy. He did it to Narada Muni in the first canto, sixth chapter. He did it to Chitraketu through the instructions of Narada. And Chitraketu acknowledged it in 6th canto, chapter 16, verse 34. My dear Lord, after his ecstasy subsided, when he saw Sankarsana by chanting the mantra given by Narada Muni for 6 months, and Sankarsana gave him darshan, then he said, amazing. Both you and your devotees both conquer. Your devotees conquer you by their love for you, and therefore you are attracted to serve, to help them, to give them what they want. And at the same time, you conquer the devotees by your sweetness and you have full control over your devotees. Both you and the devotees both conquer. What a wonderful verse it is. Huh? Krishna was conquered by the love of his gopis. He told them. See, the distinction was, is the Dvija Brahmanis were the disciples of the gopis, but their bhajan was not so strong. They were still little kacha. They were little unripe, undeveloped. So when Krishna told them, well, wait a minute, externally I'm a coward boy, and my natural associates is coward boys and coward girls and the cows and like that, and society is just not going to be able to appreciate this. And they said, but we've already feel like we're like rejected from society. We've already transgressed our husband and we came out to the forest to be with you. And we're afraid our husbands will not take us back now after we disobeyed their order and we came out here. You know, we came out here disregarding their order, we came out here in the forest with all these four kinds of foodstuff to serve you, and now we want to stay here. And Krishna, no, 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 it's not good. Don't worry about it. Your husbands have had a change of heart. I promise you. He knows it because he's within the heart of the husbands. So he knows it. Don't worry. My dear Brahmanis, you can go ahead and go home. It's by hearing our pastime, Shravanam, Darshan, seeing our beauty, Dhyana, meditating on our pastimes, Mayi Bhavonu Kirtanat, and following my mood and hearing and chanting repeatedly about that mood. And following those who know that mood, anukirtanat. Natata pradikarshina, not by physical proximity. Pratiyatotratogriham, now go back to your home. The difference is the Dvija Brahmanis felt helpless and they thought, well, our bhajan is not, we have to follow Krishna's order. All right. He's assured us our husband will accept us back and we're not qualified to stay, you know, in the forest and be his maidservants. Well, we'll just have to increase our hankering. We'll just have to increase our bhajan. Pratiyatatogriham means go back to your bhajan, go back to your worship of Krishna. You're not quite ripe yet. Go back to work. Go back to your sadhana. That's what it means. You see? But when Krishna told the exact same shloka to the gopis, they were already ripe. They were already proper. They were already in their spiritual bodies. They weren't trainees like the Dvija Brahmanis were. They were not trainee candidates. They were not apprentices. No. They were already pakka. They're already ripe. They're already realized. So, although the instruction that Krishna gave cannot be false, anything the Supreme Absolute says from His mouth cannot be false, it did not apply to them. Therefore, they objected to it. They said, nope, we're not doing it. We came out here, you played your flute, you attracted us, we came out here, and already, you know, we're not going anywhere. We're staying here, and we want you to reciprocate with us. See? And he did. And then he left. When they got proud, he left. And that also increased their hankering for it. They were burning in the fire of separation. The Gopi Gita is one of the most astounding poetries. You know, the songs of the Gopis filled with such beautiful realization, such wonderful song, such captivation, realization, such beauty, such poetry. Their heartfelt prayers to Krishna. And seeing their sincerity, Krishna again came back. And then when they came back, then all of their natural reciprocal relationships came to the fore. Some of them were totally satisfied with that. Whatever Mukunda wants, I'm his maid servant and I'm ready for that. And other ones were like looking at him with eyes like, well, we're so attracted to you, but what did you leave us for? Why did you cause us pain? Then they started to get on Krishna's case. Gaonwalas do that, right? You're our villager, right? So we'll jump into you in any way we want. We'll attack you with words any way we want because we live in the same village, right? You know, so they said, my dear Mukunda, tell us the nature of friendship. You know, because they wanted to expose his lack of his hypocrisy and not reciprocating with him according to their desires as a proper friend. That's what their intention was. We want to expose that you're not reciprocating with us according to how we think you should. You know, we want to expose it. So they said, tell us the nature of friendship. And then Krishna said, well, some people reciprocate only when they first would receive love. And other people, they're ready to reciprocate even if they're ready to give love, even if without worrying about if any love is received in gain. And other people, they're arrogant. They think that it was your duty to serve me because I'm in a superior position. And it was your duty to serve me and I shouldn't reciprocate at all. I don't need to reciprocate at all for that. You know? Some people, they're so arrogant, Krishna said, that they don't reciprocate no matter what love they get. But then he finally touched on the reality of what they were really wanted because he knows what they want in their heart. He knows what they're asking. But the main reason, my dear gopis, that I don't reciprocate with the love of somebody who surrenders everything to me sometimes is that I want to increase their hankering. That's all. They become just like a person who had some money and they lost it. And they can do nothing but to think about that lost money again and again. company policy. The verse is so beautiful and wonderful. But when you cross-reference it with Narada Muni's statement in 1st Canto, chapter 6, verse number 21, 22, with the Lord's statement to Narada and his previous life as the maidservant. You see? Or you see the struggles Chitraketu went through to get darshan of Sankarshan, like that and all that. You see it. It's Krishna's company policy. You see? Or even for people like, you know, Naranarayan Rishi, who are being harassed by Cupid Kamadeva in the 11th canto. And then afterwards, the Lord is in the form of Naranarayan Rishi was there. And they became these apsaras that manifested, that were brought by Cupid for the purpose of breaking his Naranarayan Rishi's vows by the order of Indra, thinking that he was going to be a rival, going to usurp their throne or position in the heavenly planets. So they were sent by Indra to do some nefarious activities. You know, like it's kind of like the modern story these days, like in India, you know, that journalists want to get some mud, you know, out of expose some corruption, you know, so they'll pretend to be businessmen and they'll offer some Indian businessmen some bribes, you know, and offer them some prostitutes or something like that, you know, like this. And if the Indian politicians stumble for it, and they got it all on video, you know, and then that's the end of the guy's career, you know. It's like that. You know, so, you know, Cupid tried to do that, you know, like that. We'll bribe him, we'll bring some apsara girls, and we'll have nice Vasanti, nice spring, nice ragas, and this and that. You know, but the sage could not be swayed. And he laughed at the whole thing, at their stupidity. And he manifested from his body girls that were much more beautiful than the girls that were accompanying Cupid. They were shocked. They were completely defeated by his power. It was so astounding. They were completely defeated by his power. And they were afraid. Uh-oh, now we may get cursed by the sage. They were trembling with fear. But the Lord does not want to do that to his parts and parcels. He wants to attract them to his lotus feet. So he smiled and said, "I understand your stupidity. Don't worry about it." He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "All good fortune unto you." He said, "I understand the purpose of what you come here. Now, you can take any of these beautiful girls that have emanated from my body and take her to Indra." Like that. "Don't worry. Be happy. You're welcome in my ashram," he said. Narayana Rishi said, "You're welcome, you know. I'm not threatened by you. Don't worry about it. And don't worry about the reactions. It's all right. I'm just teaching you a lesson, that's all." And who did he take back? Urvashi. She's no ordinary person. So when she speaks something in the 8th canto, you open your ears. She's not an ordinary person. She emanated, she was an apsara, but she emanated directly from the body of Narayana Rishi. Her statements are pretty profound. Okay, she is an apsara. Okay, she probably has an agenda. Okay, she wants him to enjoy Arjuna, and she, you know, she has some agenda too. But she is also quite a smart personality, having emanated from the Supreme Lord's body, from the sage's body directly. You know, all these wonderful pastimes just show how the Supreme Lord is very personal with his parts and parcels. He's very personal, and he reciprocates personally. He does whatever is required to capture that devotee's heart and bring him to his lotus feet. The Lord does not lose focus. We lose our focus because we're under the illusory energy. But the Lord doesn't lose focus. And his yoga maya does not lose focus either. Therefore, she arranged that they dissatisfy the gopis' hearts. The Lord danced with them for a whole night of Brahma. At the same time, the maya forms were there at the bedsides of their husband. They had known nothing about it. Krishna does this like anything. Same thing with Brahma Vimohan Leela. Brahma came back after a moment of his calculation, which was a whole year. But those cows and boys were in suspended animation, and they were staying in the forest. Brahma could not capture them. He took a mayic form and kept it within the cave by his mystic potency, a mayic expansion. And those original boys and calves were in the forest. under the sway of the Yogamaya. And they had no idea what was going on. They did not age a drop. Neither did they feel the pangs of hunger and thirst and anything. They revealed it later on when Krishna, when after Brahma was released by Krishna and he went back, then Krishna was again, just like he was a year before, with a tabala, with a yogurt and fruit in his left hand, and he was searching for the calves, just like he'd done a year ago. And his friend Sam, Mukunda, Svagatam Vom, he said, Uchuscha Surado Krishna. They said, oh Krishna, oh dear friend Krishna, Svagatam Vo. Welcome to you, Atirangasa, and you came back so quickly. Nahi Kevala, Adirangasa, Nabi Kevala, Ehita Sarabhujatam, and we haven't even eaten a drop without you. We haven't even eaten a single morsel without you. Ehita Sarabhujatam, come, sit with us, properly eat your food. And Krishna sat with them. Suta Goswami said, Tato Hasan Hrishikesha, Avabhritya Sa Arbakai. He laughed, Hrishikesha, the Lord smiled and laughed and sat down with his friends and ate with them. Sa Arbakai. And then Darshayam Chamajagyaran. And then when they went back, they saw the snake, the preserved body of the snake, the python, which was just exactly as it had done a year ago. Tato Yatra Vanad Vrajam. And therefore the boys then went back to their home in Vrindavan. They didn't say anything for a whole year. Krishna had manifested themselves with those cows and those boys, and they kept their mouth shut, because Krishna doesn't blow his own horn. And they came back home. Mother, Krishna, saved us from the big serpent. Huh? Mother, Krishna saved us from the big serpent. It was a wonderful thing, And it happened a whole year ago, But the boys reported it that night. They didn't know. Just like the gopis had no idea. To satisfy their heartfelt desires, Krishna danced with them for a whole night of Brahma. The gopis had no inkling of the passage of time. Because the passage of time is a material phenomenon. In the spiritual world, there is no destruction of eternal time. There is past, there is spiritual past, spiritual present, but there's no destructive aspect of it, Vanaswami said. You don't know how time is going on. You have a spiritual body, and you're relishing in that with Krishna. And then Krishna, out of his yoga maya, allowed the fear of their parents or their elders to come in the heart. Oh, not to disturb them. Better go back. Well, all right. It's the same thing that happens every day in Radha Krishna's Leela. When they're in the kunjas, they wake up Kakati, one old monkey, cries and yells at 3:30 in the morning or so. 3:30 like this, pushing for, makes some loud noise, wakes up Radha and Krishna in the kunja, and they understand, wow, we really like to be with each other, but we can't. The day is coming. We have to go back. So they separate and they go back. She goes back to Yavat, and stumbling along the road with her eyes completely, sleepless. She was lucky if she got an hour and a half or anything like that. And her grandmother Mukura sees her on the road. What is this? What are you doing here, out here in the morning like this? And what do you got this? And what do you got this yellow cloth on your shoulders? What happened to your blue chadar? Who gave you that? And Lalita and Radharani goes, huh? She's completely dazed with sleep, and she can't. And her friend Lalita has to go, oh, come on, you old bat. You're just too old. You can't actually see the sun is blinding. You can't actually see that this cloth is blue. She said something. I don't know. She said something. The lady goes, oh, come on, you old lady. You can't see that this cloth is actually blue. The sun's blinding you. Maybe. Mukura goes, maybe. And Radharani goes, gee, thanks. Thanks, Lalita. And then she goes back, and then Radharani takes a bath, and she goes, wow, I'm going to go cook for Mukunda. You know, and then she goes, you know, under the order of Jasoda, she goes there to Nandagram, grows with her friends. Mother Jasoda embraces her, strokes her head. Oh, what a beautiful girl. Wow, you'd be so nice for my son. Anyway. And then just go cook for Mukunda, you know, by the benediction of Durvasa Muni. And Radharani does that with her friends, you know, and then Krishna and his friends eat at about 8:30 in the morning, and they laugh and they joy and they joke and make fun and like this as they eat what Radharani has cooked. And then secretly Dhanishta, you know, the assistant of Mother Jasoda, who loves Radha Krishna very much, she makes a rendezvous with one of Radharani's friends, and they swap the cloths. You know, the yellow chadar that was Krishna's yellow chadar that was by mistake on their shoulders of Radharani, and Radharani's blue chadar that was left on Krishna's shoulders by mistake, you know, is swapped. and then the day goes, the day wears on, another day in Vrindavan, you know, wears on. But it's all wonderful. It's all wonderful. Yoga Maya is an amazing thing. And we should pray to that. To tell you frankly, Purivasis state that Subhadra Devi is the same Yoga Maya. Now, I haven't understood it yet. In one sense, Yoga Maya is Purnamasi Devi and Braj. But some people also say that Subhadra Devi is also Yoga Maya. So it is inconceivable. She is also another one that is very much draped in mystery. I was asking Madhavananda and a bunch of other people about her. Her glories are completely steeped in mystery, just like Balarama's glories are steeped in mystery. What about her? Yet she is extremely powerful, and she facilitates the Lord's pastimes in astounding ways. I was just... You know, will we ever understand? Will we ever come to know? You know, when did she appear? I was talking with Bhanu Swami about it. When would she appear? When did she appear as Rohini's daughter? You know, like that. And was it after Krishna and Balaram went to Mathura? You know, it just appears like that. It completely steeped in mystery. When did she appear? Nothing. Bhanu Swami did a little search and he found out. The daughter of Rohini, the sister of Sharada, and evidently Balaram's got another brother named Sharada. Like that. Daughter of Vasudev and Rohini, sister of Sharada. And a sister of Balarama. And this is why he was eager to arrange her marriage, obviously. It was. That's interesting. Vasudev Anumodita. As soon as I saw that Sanskrit in the shloka, I was thinking, Vasudev Anumodita. Why is Krishna being referred to as Vasudev? But the commentary says that it's because of consciousness. The consciousness, Krishna's consciousness, the gopis agreed with Krishna's conscious idea. The consciousness of fear of the elders. You know? So they went back. And adds the excitement, like I was describing from Govinda Vallabha Natakam, the same thing, the excitement of anticipation, this fear of the elders, makes Radha Krishna's Leela all that more confidential and more secret and more and more interesting. So this is all wonderful. The Lord satisfies his devotees. Pratiyata tato griham. I quoted this shloka because of this shloka. It says Swagrihana Bhagavata Priya. The girls followed the order of Krishna and went back to their house because they're very dear to Krishna. Now, so Krishna's order was to the Dvija Brahmanis as well as the gopis, Pratiyata tato griham. Now please go back to your house. Go back to your house means continue your bhajan, continue your worship, continue your greed for Krishna, somehow or other. So that's all our business here in this wonderful mandir, in this wonderful festival that's coming up. Somehow or another, we have an individual relationship with Krishna which comes out by hearing and chanting. And we have to package Krishna and Gauranga for our childlike mind to somehow or another grab it. That's all. Make some arrangement, somehow or another, grab it. Teach the reluctant mind to somehow or another grab Gauranga and grab Krishna. Topics of Krishna become attractive, because that is our business in this human form of life. to allow the mind to be stolen by Krishna, by Garanga, and transported to the spiritual world. That is the purpose of human life. That is the purpose of this movement. And our loving friendship with each other is meant to facilitate that. That makes the human life successful. Whatever we've got in this place or that place, our business is the same. Whether we're in Mayapur, whether here, go there, in this temple, that temple, in this situation or that situation. The purpose of human life is to develop greed for Krishna with anyone you've got. Here in chat, with anyone you've got, and make the best of it and increase the greed for Garanga and increase the greed for Krishna, because that is what helps us cross the ocean of birth and death and achieve the lotus feet of Krishna. We have to follow the previous acharyas and their attachment. No matter how unwilling our mind is or how unwilling the concrete jungle allows us to, somehow we have to transcend all this thing. But what a great inspiration was an article, it was a comment in one of Prabhupada's godbrother's books, Obiyal Kapoor's book. I still have to find more about that particular Raja, whose mantris, whose ministers advised him to do that. When that Raja went and did his puja, he told his wife, at the time of my puja, don't bother me. He was doing his puja, his manasik bhajan, and he closed all the senses of his ears. Down to his ears, the last bastion of defense, the ears. Everything was closed off. He was simply absorbed in the beauty of Shyam Sundar. And at that time, due to the effect of the rival king's spies, they thought, this is the best time. When the king is weak, we'll attack him at this time. They didn't know that Shyam Sundar was on the side of the king, really, because of the king's unparalleled bhakti and love. Shyam Sundar said, sure, you just stay here and meditate on me and you'll be perfectly happy. We're not going to disturb your budget, Krishna said. But Krishna took the form of the king, went out, protected the kingdom, right, defeated the other rival king, and let the king do his puja. In the meantime, the king came out. After 4 hours of doing his puja like he did, he came out and everybody went, wow, it was a great victory. What victory? What's going on? What victory? You don't know anything about it? What victory? Then he went out to his stable and he saw his horse practically dead with exhaustion. Who rode my horse? Come on, sire. I don't let anybody touch your horse. You know, the guy was so adamant. The stable keeper was so adamant. You know, the king was like, what's going on? Sire, I saw you. You got in the back of your horse and you went, I don't let anybody touch your horse but you. The king went out, saw all the carnage, all the broken chariot, all the dead bodies, all the... Wow, who did this? And he went walking around and he saw two people injured. The king went up to them and said, who did this to you? The person smiled and said, sire, it was Shyam Sundar. He took your form. We're his devotees. He knew us. So he laughed at us and he stabbed us. He didn't kill us. He said he just stabbed us. He didn't kill us. With a big smile on his face, because we were on the opposite side. We had to suffer from being on the opposite side. So he did stab us. He didn't kill us. But he allowed us to see him. He was very skillful with the sword. And unstoppable. Unstoppable, indefatigable. And he did it. He's very, very good. The king just laughed. And he called his physicians and said, all right, take care of these men. Take care of their injuries, and if they live, then they may stay with us, or they may go wherever they like. You know, the king understood that Shyam Sundar protected him. It was such a wonderful story, because when I read it, I thought, look at that. Nobody can say that they're not entangled in this world. You know, like from anybody from nine to, you know, kings and their wives, the queen, they must have been, all the citizens of that kingdom must have been behind them. You know, from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock or something, you know. The king had his, you know, and the lady also had to do so many cultural programs and, you know, and assist all the other ladies in their cultural dharma, right? You can imagine, right? How both of them must have been intensely busy during the daytime. And yet, the king had time to go to the spiritual world. The king had made time to go to the spiritual world. So it was a wonderful, it's a true story too, and it's a true king in Rajasthan. It's a true story. And Shyamasundara truthfully protected his devotee, truthfully. And it's a wonderful thing. So it just shows us, wow, I got a long way to go with my japa. I got a long way to go with my bhagavatam. I got a long way to go with my deity worship. I got a long way to go with my reciprocation with my devotees. I got a long way to go, you know, to my shraddha with the mantris, you know, with my superiors, that my advisors. I got a long way to go. You know, it helps us to shine the mirror at us a little bit. But it is not impossible. The story, and this is only within the last couple hundred years. It means it is possible for whatever you want during the daytime to divorce yourself and go to the spiritual world. And that's the essence. That's what it says. Satam ayam saragapratam nisargo. Yet artavani shuddhi chaita samapi. Pratikshanam navyavat achutasaya. At every moment it's dear. The most dear, precious thing. That's our business in this temple. That's our business. Somehow or another become attached to Gauranga. Somehow or another become attached to Krishna. Somehow or another become attached to Radha Krishna. And become attached to your favorite deities. And by their shelter, will cross the ocean of miseries of this material world. That's what the purpose of this temple is. To help us. To empower us so that we may follow in their footsteps. Then we can actually become really a disciple of our spiritual masters. Then we can actually do that. And there, our spiritual masters will help us. They'll help us cross at the time of death. When we have to give up this stupid body, they'll come. They'll come. They'll help us. They'll give all help. They'll give all help. Provided we practice in this, in our youthfulness. Provided we practice going to the spiritual world. Whatever way we can. Krishna's ready. Gauranga's ready. In so many beautiful, sweet ways to capture our heart. Let us allow them to do it. Let us allow them to capture our heart. Then we can make our life successful. And to the extent that we've allowed the Lord to steal our heart, and we show the devotees, just like Radharani is supreme of all the gopis because her heart is stolen by Krishna in the best way. And her bhavas, her emotions, her attachment shows her superior love. And yet Radharani is not very arrogant about it. So in the same way, if we could actually show by example how much we're actually attached to Krishna and Gauranga, then that will be preaching. That will be preaching. This is mentioned by... I was discussing this with Bhanuswami. Finally, I got it. The folio translation of Prema Vivarta has no Bengali, much to my regret. So, I asked Bhanuswami, and he searched, and he got this exact shloka. He got it. Go to your Grantha Mandir, something like that. You know, he pulled out. There's a Bengali version of Prema Vivarta there. There was a shloka that I'd memorized a pada, just a quarter of it, and it was chewing at me, you know. The nature of things, when you only half memorize something just like chews at you like an acid until you finish it up. So I was telling him, I heard this story, but what is this? It's a very good quote. What is it? So we finally dug it out. The statement by Jagadananda Pandit is very strong. He says there, gorera ami, mukke bolile na chahile, gorera achara, gorera prachara, loile se fala fale. Finally I got it down by the grace of Bhanuswami. I was able to finish the job. Let some other acid eat me now. You know? But at least I got the satisfaction of that job done. Finally the job got done. So he says, I'm a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. I'm a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Simply saying it with your mouth will not do. He's heavy. Simply saying it with your mouth does not do. If Lord Chaitanya's example, and if Lord Chaitanya's preaching, if that is accepted, if that is accepted by the devotee, then you'll get the fruit of the fruit. The realization of the result of that. You'll understand it. You'll get deep realization out of that. Wow. Lord Chaitanya's example, Lord Chaitanya's preaching, if that's taken, then you can really call yourself a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Wow. Wow. Heavy statement. Radharani, now we were discussing about greed, right? Tatra lolium abhimulyam egalam. The shloka that I still haven't got that done. That's another acid that's kicking me. But I got to do it. In Ananda Vrindavan Champu, I was reading along before, you know, Bhanu Swami and Madhini Maharaj put it together. It has some problems. A couple of things are missing, unfortunately. We found some sections that are missing. I've got to go back and clean it next time. First that really caught my mind was Radharani was speaking to a friend, and she said, one's advancement in Krishna consciousness can be measured by the intensity of the greed one has to achieve Krishna. She says, although you may feel yourself unqualified for that greed, nevertheless, the greed to attain Krishna remains. It means you have a natural shyness. You know, I'm a bum, I'm a zero, I'm a knucklehead, or I'm materially useless, or I'm not qualified. But that's all right. We're not qualified, but that's all right. You should still strive to get Gauranga. You should still strive to get Radha Krishna Sangha. You should still try to for the spiritual world. You may feel unqualified, but that's all right. It's the greed to get it still remains there. It's a great statement. It's a remarkable statement. Just because you may feel unqualified doesn't stop the greed to get Krishna. Doesn't stop the greed to get Gauranga. The burning fire of intensity that I must get it. I must get it. And what a wonderful statement Radharani says there. Wow. It's like, wow, it must have been like the whole pinnacle of the whole chapter of that section. But that's what I remember. This is probably the main thing that really, when I see Radharani sometimes, that's what I remember. I remember that, you know, wow, what a mood. What a mood she's got. And that mood that she has got is what moves the Hridini Shakti, that permeates the whole of Vrindavan, the whole of between the coward boys with Krishna, the gopis with Krishna, the cows with Krishna, Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj with Krishna, everyone with Krishna. Everyone's got this same intensity. Ah, I must have Krishna in the way I want to serve him, you know? And Krishna goes, and Krishna becomes Vasi Bhut. Sure, Mother Jasoda, you have it your way, you know. Nanda Maharaj, have it your way. Sridham Sudham, sure, have it your way, Krishna says. You know, you want me like this, have it your way. And that's also mentioned in Adi Leela chapter 4. Krishna says, it's my nature to reciprocate with somebody according to the way they want me. Like that. Sure, have it your way. Krishna's ready to do it. Have it your way. How remarkable. Huh? Their intensity, their greed to get Krishna. And Krishna said, sure, you want me like this? Have it your way. How remarkable it is. How compassionate Krishna is. How kind he is. We have to be very careful what we desire. The whole point of sadhu sangha means to get we may forget Krishna. We get spaced out in the concrete jungle, you know, in our lifestyle. We lose our priorities. But friendship with devotees means don't forget the essence is to love Gauranga and love Krishna and love that. That's what our whole mood of being a devotee is. And associate with anybody and serve anybody to get that. That's it. Huh? What do I want from your association? Somebody will push me to love Gauranga and Krishna a little more than yesterday. That's it. A little more than I did yesterday. And we'll take it from anyone. If anybody gives us, we take it. The superior can get something from the subordinate. Oh, nice. You know? The sincerity of a subordinate can inspire a superior, for example. Like Prabhupada mentioned that so many times, you know. Or the wonderfulness of the statements of the previous acharyas can overwhelm us also. But let's try to get something every day. You know, at least a drop.
better than yesterday. They would think we're doing better. Like I asked Niranjan Maharaj, I'll never forget this. It was so funny. I'll never forget this probably till my dying day. When I asked him, Maharaj, what is your criteria for basket cases? I mean, nuts. I mean, I thought I was materially useless. There's always somebody better than some and worse than others, right? There's always somebody more useless than you, or somebody much more qualified than you materially, or much more talented, much more smart, much more scholarly. You know what I mean? It's like that. You follow? It's all relative. Better than some, worse than others. Maharaj, what's your criteria for basket cases? I looked at some of his disciples and thought, man, this guy's a nut. You know, well, how did Maharaj accept him? You know? And it's like that. I asked him. He said, my criteria is that when I see them, they're much better now than I was when I last saw them. Oh, I loved it. As soon as he said that, I thought, oh, the essence of compassion. Oh. He or she has made advancement. They're more attached to Gauranga. They're more attached to Krishna. Great. They're following the process. Great. You know? And if I can assist them in developing that greed, if they're a little better now than when I last saw them, great. What a wonderful attitude. What a wonderful statement. How he condensed it in such a nice sentence. Wow! It was enlivening. And it made me understand that we can't close the door on anyone. As long as they have a willingness to try this process of chanting Hare Krishna and living with devotees, they may go at their own rate, they may take it a little slow, but if they're willing to try it, give them the benefit of the doubt, encourage them. Because we want that. When I see them tomorrow or I see them next day, they're a little bit better than they were before. Let's bring them up to that level. That's what the temple's about. That's what the community is about. That's what our friendship is about. And we have to develop that. So that all, by the grace of all the devotees, we take shelter of Tulsi Rani, Gornatai, Radha Vallabha, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, and we run into the spiritual world. When we drop this useless body. By the grace of all the devotees. How nice. Hare Krishna. Any questions now? It's inconceivable. These pastimes are inconceivable. The gopis, they did what Krishna wanted and went home. They didn't like that, but they did what they were told, you know. They understood it had to happen. We have to be worried about our superiors. We better go home. Krishna must also be worried, huh? Out of love for Mother Jasoda, Krishna is also worried. Krishna, if Krishna doesn't get home, you know, then Mother Jasoda is going to wonder, where'd he go? She'll be in anxiety. My mother should not be in anxiety. I'm going home, you know, so it's like that. Yes, Prabhu?
In order to run the Krishna conscious movement, we need competent people of self, mind, and body. At the same time, we want to be compassionate. There's an interesting balancing that goes on. If you just facilitate too many people that are a little bit, let's say, got some problems, then that they might cause an unattractive element. So more intelligent people. So how do you balance the need to be compassionate, but also need to be practical and
I think Srila Prabhupada was talking about that in terms of varnashrama. You know, like that. Of course, you got it. You got a farm community or something like that. You always got a place you could put them. If people are too weird to stay in the temple, then you could put them on the farm. You know, something like that. You could always give them to Jason Monagreeva or something like that. You know? See if you can take care of this person. Give him a chance, you know. I know some nuts. One guy in Lithuania, he took 10 years, but now he's become quite sane and quite nice. But he was. It just means that people are crazies. It's a bad karma. It's a karmic reaction from their previous life. So we have to figure out. Somebody should be able to take care of him. You know. Like the joke was that they have it, you have to have at least one crazy in every temple, otherwise it's not a bona fide ISKCON temple. But you should only have one. You should only have one nut. Otherwise you won't attract the intelligentsia. One nut will be tolerable. At least if they're a nice nut. You know, they wash the pots and they stay out of the way, you know, they're a nice nut, you know. But they can't be too crazy. Yeah, Aniruddha. I think Aniruddha is gonna qualify that, or he's gonna win.
Well, I think we have to understand that the majority of people are nuts. In reality, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of weird stuff going on.
Prabhupada, that was an interesting. Prabhupada quoted that. He was had a court case in Allahabad, some legal problem, and there was some guy that was trying to get out with a murder, you know, on the plea of insanity. He had some British barrister or something like that. He was trying to get out of the murder rap on the plea of insanity. I was not emotionally sound. So the judge said, well, let's call a psychiatrist and see if the person is actually nuts. When they called a psychiatrist, well, Your Honor, you know, I've examined this man, and if you want, you can choose whatever you think, but as far as I've understood it, everybody is more or less crazy. And Prabhupada noted it, you know, when Prabhupada saw it, he noted it, and he used it in his preaching later on, you know. Better than some, worse than others, you know.
But you have to be, you know, that point about...
balance?
Seeing whether people were advancing or not. You know, because there are some people who are just a disturbance, and you have to remove them from your community, otherwise they're just disturbing.
Yeah, and they're going to disturb.
So you've got to remove them.
Right.
Because that's to protect the benefit of the whole, the greater whole, you know what I mean?
Right.
And there are some people who, you know, over time you can see they'll make progress. Most of us, you know, one time or another, one before we came to Krishna consciousness, we're all slightly.
We're all what? All off. Yeah.
The devotees were kind to us, and there's a matter of compassion. You have to be, and compassion, as he's saying, you know, we want to be compassionate, but there's a line that we have to know. There's a line that we draw where people just are too crackers. They're not even good for themselves. Do you know what I mean? Because they just create a disturbance. So when, you know, Prabhupada did say, no lazies
and no crazies.
Yeah, so, you know, living in the temple, associated very closely and you know, in a confidential way with the devotees, that requires a certain amount of decorum. But, you know, for people who are really basket cases, we'll give them prasadam, or, you know, we'll be kind to them like that. But otherwise, if they're causing a disturbance, we have to...
Yeah.
So it's just it's a practical... common sense, and I think, you know, as a person manages and works within a community, you sort of work it out over time. Who's the really kooky guys that have, you know, we've got a list of about four or five fellows that we have to keep an eye on from time to time. Guru knows who they are. Most of the brahmacharis know who they are. Sometimes you have to, you know, just escort them to the front gate and say, look, don't come back for 6 months.
Don't come back for 6 months.
You can't have prasadam. The punishment for being really crazy is you can't have any prasadam for 6 months. Go away.
Wow. Now, but the thing about, I was hoping that we have other programs, you know, like what I wanted to discuss with Deva Ramita Maharaj and other people, you know, like the Loft program that you're talking about. There must be some ways that people can involve themselves from a distance, you know, on their own, you know, like that. There must be some... that. Yes and no, you know. But if one thing about it, of course, if somebody wants to be Krishna conscious, if they have that, you know, and they're just crazy, and if the Lord is actually compassionate to them, they'll find it. What's weird about our movement is that if somebody's really desperate for manpower, somebody may take them in. Hey, I can't take you in, but maybe, you know,
Yeah, but they'll cause problems.
They'll cause problems somewhere else. Well, anyway, you know.
There's some people you can't have, you know, it's just their karma in this lifetime. They can't live in close association with the devotees because they've just created a disturbance.
Yeah.
And I've seen it with, you know, they've gone to Perth. I know one boy always creating a disturbance where his parents are. He's been to Perth, he's been to Willambar, he's been to Jokul.
He's been everywhere.
I've been everywhere, man.
And everybody gave up on him.
And it's just his karma of this lifetime.
Hare Krishna. One thing we should remember, that let that not be our karma. Like, it's just like, we should always remember that we're made out of nothing but the mercy of devotees. You know, we really should. We should not lose the gem, you know, by fault finding or anything. We should not lose the value or good fortune of the association with devotees. And when you see things like that in a negative way, it wow, what an unfortunate soul. They're unable to. It reminds me, remember that was a bhajan? Narottam Das Thakur says that the prayer to the Vaishnavas, right? The departure of the Vaishnavas. Jayani lo premadana. He said, another bhajans by Narottam, he says, I'm just... Maybe it's Gorupahum. Anyway, but Yamaraj is chastising me for not being able to take advantage of such a nice moment, you know? Such a nice moment of Gauranga, and I can't take advantage of it. Yeah. I'm being punished by Yamaraja, he said.
Be very careful, actually, because, you know, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are very merciful. And, the tendency can be there, oh, these people are disturbances, so we shouldn't have them, you know. And we can actually lose our compassion. So we have to be very careful.
We become too hard-hearted?
We just got to, you know, you've got to be very, you've got to be soft-hearted, but you've also got to be, what's the word?
Practical.
Very practical. But we've got to be careful, because, you know, we can say, oh, we don't want too many out of it people, because we're only out of it people.
Then later on, nobody's going to want us. Yeah, in the string of coveture, you have another thing to add.
Yeah, it's just one thing I often find a hard thing to sort of reconcile in some ways, is that you see people are actually harmful to others, you know, particularly with child molestation, sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And obviously you want to distance them from the community because they're going to cause harm to others. Yet at the same time you realize the only thing that can actually help them overcome that conditioning is the process of Krishna consciousness. So, you know, it's really hard to sort of deal with things like that. And you just like sort of relegate them to, well, you're just going to suffer this life because you've got this problem. Or how can we help them to overcome that without putting them in the position of creating harm to the community?
You know what reminds me? I was just thinking about that just now when you were speaking, and it crosses my mind. It's like the ISKCON prison ministry, but people are thrown in the slammer because of their sinful activities, because of, you know, killing your husband, you know, it's an example, right? Or being a child molester or robbery or some sinful activity, and then they're forced in prison and they're forced to suffer, you know, by the sentence, 20 years imprisonment, you're in the slammer, you know, then they become very submissive, you know, and they become open. And sometimes it's a very good preaching field for people like that. Some people need it. There's one guy in Chicago I know like that, and he tried to commandeer a bus, you know, a CTA bus, a Chicago Transit Authority bus, you know, and they put him in the slammer, you know, and they wouldn't let him out, really. But he's chanted 64 rounds a day. He's read all the books, you know, so many times. And he called the temple and talked with devotees, you know, and he'll answer, ask so many esoteric questions very deeply, you know. And for some reason, he just, his karma is that he just stays in. Admatatma told me that before he joined the movement in 71, he actually, some people, they probably even mentions it, that some criminals, they like it. I get in the prison, I don't have to get a job, you know. I get my 3 square meals a day and I don't have to worry about it, you know. And when I get lonely, when I get out of the prison, I figure I should get back in there, you know, because they'll do some stupid crime just to get thrown back in. Prabhupada said like that. They don't want to get out. So it happens like that sometimes. But these devotees, I was thinking like that. Some people like that, like a ministry like that, could utilize those people sometimes. Sometimes it can be. They would have to use their discretion to see whether such a person could be utilized. Anyway, Hare Krishna. It is difficult. Yeah, Aniruddha has mentioned it, and Nrisingha Kavacha mentioned it. It's like, for example, in Nectar Devotion it mentions, reciting the five primary angas of devotional service, chanting the holy name, worshiping the deity, staying in the company of devotees, and like that, right? Reading Srimad Bhagavatam and residing in the Dhamma. Now, one aspect of that fifth one, residing in the Dhamma, means like a devotional community where there's no scandals, where one can peacefully live your devotional life, where there's no scandals. Prabhupada mentioned that, I think, in Nectar Devotion someplace. There was some particular point where he elaborated on that point. Living in the Dham means a community where there is no scandals, where there's no, where you can do your service peacefully, like Aniruddha was saying, what they don't, and the Sringa Kavi was making. It's delicate. You don't want them to cause a disturbance to the other devotees' bhajan, the other devotees' worship, for the protection of the other devotees. Yeah.
When you're preaching, especially say in a lost situation, then what can happen is you attract a unique set of characters. But they may not be the characters that you want or need to preach to in order to push on the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, preaching is to attract intelligent, capable people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a tricky one. What do you do with the kind of half kooky guys that you've got coming along? Because they'll scare off the people that you want to attract. Mm-hmm. This is getting to the cutting to the chase, or getting to the core of this question. You have to be very, my suggestion is you really have to be very sensitive, because we are with that compassionate movement. But at the same time, we don't want to crowd out people that we really want to contact, you know what I mean?
Yeah, farm retreats.
Farm retreats.
Leave it at the farm.
Huh?
No, you don't want to farm either, because you know what's happened with it is send people to the farm. You had
experience. Yeah. If you put somebody weird at the farm, then they stay weird, and it becomes a problem.
You know, these things require mature. You know, you have to be sensitive. it's tricky.
Yeah, it's all tricky.
Very, very compassionate, but at the same time, think of ways to engage people according to their propensities.
Sometimes you have to aim the gun in a different direction because, you know, like Prabhupada used the bombs and the weapons thing. So in Bombay, they're aiming it at colleges. So if you really want those types of people, you might have to replan there for you, your strategy.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. Got to be.
You plan your strategies accordingly, yeah. To what kind of people you want to attract, you know? And then another thing is detachment. Just like if you do college preaching, and many of those kids are going to graduate and they're going to go move on in their life. And then only to what degree you touch their heart and help them, you know? Will they continue to be with devotees wherever they are around the world? Well, it depends on how well you did your job. But you're not going to be, you can't be attached to them. They're not your boy, you know, they're not staying with you. They're moving on, they're getting a job, they're getting married, and they're moving on to the wide world, you know. And, well, we can only hope that they'll remain attached to a devotee community wherever they go. Yeah. Jason.
I've had to deal with a few really crazies in the past, and I found that the best thing to do is to give them a set of beads, a bead bag, and send them on their way, and they're usually pretty happy with that. Yeah, and sometimes I can engage them in a little bit of service and
give them some beads in a bead bag and tell them, good luck, you'll need it. Like we say that for kids, right? I say that. My Gaur Keshava got in my case when I was saying it, you know, and I forgot to put a smiley at the end of it, you know. It's that household life, you know, strive for the best, tolerate the rest, you know. And for kids, you know, for children, good luck, kid, you'll need it. And Kali Yuga's tough, good luck, kid, you'll need it, you know.
They're pretty sort of a lot more content.
If they're destined to be, another thing about it, The last thing I want to make about it is the prayer. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Paritanta Dainyamai section says something very astounding. He says there, it says about the bhajan is glorifying the mercy of the devotees as the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That's the first bhajan in Paritanta Dainyamai section. Kabesi Chaitanya Murti Kodi Beda Dai. You know, he said, so he's saying, I'm suffering in this material world and I will tell the Vaishnavas about my suffering. Hearing about my suffering, the Vaishnavas will become compassionate. Amara Lagi Krishna Avedana Prachur. They will promise me that they will intercede on my behalf to Lord Krishna. Praying to Lord Krishna for thy benefit, then Krishna will become merciful and Krishna will make some plan to deliver this sinful person. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda says, Vinodera Nivedana Vaishnava Charani Kripa Kode Sangilaha E Akin Chani. Oh, he said, therefore, Bhaktivinoda prays at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, please keep this worthless one in your company. Anybody will not cry when they see that bhajan, you know, or something like that. It's so nice. So, that, you know, if there's somebody's actually not fit to be with the devotees, at the same time we think, hey Gauranga, hey Nityananda, please find some way that this person will come to your lotus feet, if not this life, at least later, you know. We tried our best, we're unfortunate, but this is all the further we can take this person, you know. If they're actually sincere, if you actually want them to come to your lotus feet, then you please make some plan for their deliverance. I couldn't do it. So it's like that. At least when you're thinking, Jason, when you mentioned about, well, give him a bead bag and wish him well and send him on their way. I think that's basically what the mood is that, hey, Gauranga, it's out of my league, you know. Gauranga, it's up to you now. The Nrisingha Kavacha.
Pop up with that in Sydney.
He said that. with the deities of the where? The deities of the farm? Radha Gopina? I thought it was the Gornatai installed in 71, no? He installed Radha Gopinath in 1971?
Yeah.
Huh? My dear Lord, now I've left you with the land of the Malechas, and you may please give them intelligence so you may not be inconvenienced. Right? He said the same thing in Detroit with Radha Kunjabihari. He said that. Of course, he added also the statement about Vamsidas, that when you get off the nonsense platform, this Krishna will speak with you. Don't look for any other Krishna. He said like that. Like Vamsidas, he was talking to his deity. He was talking about that in 76 with Radha Kunjabihari in Detroit. Very similar things. It looks like it was Prabhupada's policy. My dear Lord, you please help these people. You know, I'm going away. I'm traveling to other temples. You please help these people. Or remember when Brahmananda said that? Swamiji, how can we live without you? You're going to San Francisco. How can we live without you? He goes, Guru Maharaj is there on the altar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is there on the altar. We've requested them. They'll protect you. Provided we take their instructions, yeah, they'll protect us. Yes, Prabhuji?
I had a small point in your lecture, the earlier part. You mentioned about degradation in the standards of music.
Yeah.
That may be because of the film influence of the film industry. People, the young ones, are singing film music now. So that's one cause. And the other thing is the sense gratification. Because of that sense gratification, they are losing these standards.
Yeah, filming music is the problem. But yet some of them is, you know, at least the older generation, they tried to make it as cultural as possible.
Yeah.
Like, well, let's say Hema Malini tried, you know, many people tried. They tried to use tasteful ragas. They actually tried to use it in their entertainment industry. They tried to use it.
Like Ustad Ali Akbar Khan and some of these people are very good singers. But they were driven by the film people. They were getting more money, so they went there.
Yeah, well, you gotta pay the bills. You gotta put your kids through college, you know, and you gotta and Bombay is a very expensive place to live, so Actually, previously, a couple of years back, they said that of all types of major cities of the world, Bombay is probably one of the most reasonable priced of all the cities of the world. So, it's still expensive, as it seems. Hare Krishna. Jai Radhisham. Jai Radha Vallabha. Jai Gornatai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maya. Tosi Rani Ki Jai.